I'm a proud Tar Heel, a member of the Carolina class of 1984, but I came from a house divided. My late dad, Lenore Chambers Kiesler, and all three of his brothers attended Davidson College during and shortly after World War II. My brother Tom followed suit. My late mom and my brother Lee attended Duke University. I heard a groan over there. Mom left Duke after a year to marry Dad, a mitigating factor. Lee stayed all 4 years, played number one on the Duke golf team, and turned out pretty well, notwithstanding of his choice of the wrong shade of blue. My oldest brother Bill and I both attended Carolina, beneficiaries of the Moorhead program. We were preceded to Carolina by our grandfather, Edward Yates Kiesler, and then followed by Bill's son, Will Kiesler. I married a Carolina girl, Susan, class of 1987, who thankfully never ran into me while I was here. Now our oldest daughter, a high school senior, waits and hopes. As I look back, I think I was scared to death to go to college. Since my brothers were all older, I grew up a little like an only child, frankly, sheltered, protected. By the time I started seventh grade, I had the place to myself. I went to a small independent day school in Charlotte where I knew everyone. I knew how things worked, and there were few surprises, and all of them were good. I had been inclined to go to a smaller college, but fate intervened. I went from a high school class of 59 to a freshman class of thousands in one 2.5-hour August drive. I was the fourth son Mom and Dad dropped at college. Now, I don't want to say it was old hat to them, but the car barely stopped rolling when we pulled up at Grand Bend. I still have a vivid memory of standing on the steps of the dorm watching them pull away for the return trip to Charlotte. I imagine them high-fiving in the front seat, though I doubt they did. Actually, my dad was a really sweet man, and I suspect that was a very tough drive for him. 30 minutes later, two guys from a fraternity showed up, and this led to some things that were not good. More on that later. Freshman fall was an unforgettable time, like drinking from a fire hose in every conceivable way. And as I sat to write this, vivid memories from that time returned. The organized bedlam of orientation. Man, it was hot. There were armies of orientation counselors in ill-fitting T-shirts trying to be helpful. Thank goodness they have changed that process. I do recall sitting in Carmichael Auditorium, listening to then student body president Bob Saunders address the freshman class. I couldn't hear a word he said, but we later became friends, law school classmates at Virginia, and fellow members of the North Carolina Bar. Drop ad in Woolen Gym. Some of the younger people here will find this hilarious. I recall that the process of dropping and adding courses was conducted in the old Woolen Gym. It was nuts in a fun sort of way. You would wait in lines for courses and trade cards back and forth as in some elaborate game of academic poker. It was hot as hell in there. What a system. A pretty good place to meet girls, though. At least that's what other people told me. I tried out for and made the UNC JV men's soccer team. Most of us were 18. The guy coaching us was 22. No one came to see us play except for an occasional girlfriend, a parent passing through town, or someone who got lost looking for the varsity game. But the uniforms were Carolina blue and white, and they said UNC on them, and that felt pretty cool. My parents came to a game, which is a great memory. Sadly, the program was defunded after my freshman year. I hope there was no connection to our level of play. Now, I mentioned those two fraternity guys who showed up at my dorm. I did join a fraternity after going through my freshman fall rush. Some of it was a lot of fun. Now, I might have learned some of the following lessons that were not good. I can't confirm these things, of course, but these might have happened. Too much peppermint schnapps on a hot football Saturday at Keenan Stadium can lead to unfortunate results. Some brownies provided at parties had ingredients that Mom did not use at home.
Is this being recorded?
Fraternity Hell Week and an 8 a.m. French 4 class allowing only 3 absences did not go well together. Now, I studied like a crazy person my freshman fall, making a 3.9. I guess I thought I would flunk out if I didn't. Seriously. I was so nervous before my first final, I got up at 2 a.m., showered and dressed, all the while thinking it was time to go to the exam. Only then did I notice it was pitch black outside and no one was awake. True story. Fun places to eat and drink. Timeout biscuits, Greek grilled cheese at Hector's, French toast at the Carolina Coffee Shop, dinner entrees by number at the Porthole, fried chicken at Mama Dips, Sutton's, of course. In hindsight, maybe I should have gotten an anticipatory prescription for Lipitor. And to wash anything down, a big orange or a big lemon orange at the old Colonial Drugstore on West Franklin. In all my trips to get a big LO, I never saw anyone actually purchase a drugstore item there. Everything was covered with dust in there. And picture this one, I'm sure you'll recall. Beautiful day in your freshman fall, maybe a Friday in October. 65 degrees, not a cloud in the Carolina blue sky, light breeze. Only the weekend beckons. It's late morning at class change time, and you're sitting at your favorite campus spot on a stone wall or a step or a stoop watching the world go by, and you think, yep, this wasn't a bad idea. This will do. As freshman fall passed to freshman spring and beyond, I came to really treasure the academic experience at Carolina. Nothing symbolized that to me more than the reading room in Wilson Library, which in those days was open for daily use by students. Those windows, the high ceilings, the long tables, the lamps really made you feel you were doing something important. I tended to choose classes where possible based on professor, and boy, I did have some great ones. Ed 41 with Gerald Unks, Modern Drama with Kimball King, French Revolution with G.V. Taylor, Astronomy 31 with Wayne Christensen, P.E. 41 with Professor Lovingood, North Carolina History with William Powell. Awesome. I'm sure all of you have your own list. It was also an amazing time to be a Carolina student and sports fan. Carolina's football team featured quarterback Rod Elkins, running backs Famous Amos Lawrence and Kelvin Bryant, and legendary defender and future NFL Hall of Famer Lawrence L.T. Taylor. The basketball program was on fire. My freshman year, Carolina made the national final, losing to Indiana in a very tight game. The next year, James Worthy, Sam Perkins, Matt Doherty, Jimmy Black, and a skinny freshman named Michael Jordan took Coach Dean Smith to his first national title. The team played its home games then in Carmichael Auditorium, a really cool, more intimate venue I'm sorry some never got to experience. Men's lacrosse was a perennial powerhouse. One of my fraternity brothers, Ted Millspaugh, now a lawyer in Baltimore, was a starter on those teams. Women's soccer was beginning to build its dynasty under Coach Dorrance. Like any truly great university, Carolina in my time was a hotbed of debate over the issues of the day, and I loved that. There were presidential elections in 1980 and 1984, so I experienced part of two national campaign seasons while at Chapel Hill. In 1980, I remember going to see independent candidate Congressman John Anderson from Illinois. Anybody remember that guy? He didn't do too well in the election, but the hall was packed, I can tell you that. The pit was always abuzz with student groups raising awareness about some issue or another. Divestiture of university funds from apartheid South Africa was a big issue at the time. Students erected shanties on the main quad in front of South Building. Hard to believe, but at the time I graduated in 1984, Nelson Mandela, the future president of South Africa, was still 6 years from being released from prison. Now, I mentioned my friend Bob Saunders, who was student body president my freshman year. Student government in that era was very interesting. Students elected about everything: student body president, class officers, Carolina Athletic Association president, campus governing council speaker, and interestingly, Daily Tar Heel editor. My junior year, a guy named John Drescher served as DTH editor. He now holds a similar position with a slightly larger paper in Raleigh. The student body president my senior year was Kevin Monroe, who now works with Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox. Now, this is a little off color, folks, but I'm just going to tell you the facts, okay? He prevailed in a runoff election over a controversial candidate that year who went by the name, wait for it, Hugh G. Rection. All right? Now, Mr. Rection campaigned with a cardboard container for a six-pack of beer over his head, and he nearly won the election. Gosh, in the 2016 cycle, something about that seems oddly familiar. I had dinner with Kevin recently in Washington. He's a wonderful guy. Kevin, not you. In all seriousness, probably the most important single thing that happened for me at Carolina was my involvement in the honor system. I served on the honor court my sophomore, junior, and senior years. My senior year, I served as chair. The honor system has a wonderful long history at Carolina. In my era, the court heard cases in which students were alleged to have committed violations of the honor code or the campus code. Cases were prosecuted and defended by members of the student attorney general's staff. Many, though not all, of the cases involved academic cheating, the normal sanction for which was suspension. So this was a weighty but fulfilling responsibility. In addition to hearing the cases, the court members and student attorney general staff would make presentations around campus about the honor system. I spent many interesting hours my senior year, particularly traveling around campus with my close friend then and now, student attorney general Hunter Hoover, who's now a doctor in Charlotte, talking to students in dorm lounges and other venues about the honor system. Similarly, we teamed with professors and we would make presentations to sport teams around campus. I got lucky and drew the assignment of speaking to the men's basketball team one year with legendary English professor George Lensing, who was with us last night at dinner, which was a real treat for me. Coach Smith was incredibly kind when we visited his team. One final experience I had that demonstrates what a neat opportunity all that was this. In going through some materials in our file cabinet at the Student Union, I discovered an old honors thesis entitled The History of the Honor System at UNC. It was written by a former chair of the Honor Court. Wade Smith, can you tell me who that would have been? James G. Exum, Jr., who was then in 1984 an Associate Justice of the North Carolina Supreme Court. So I sheepishly, having read the paper, called Justice Exum's chamber and asked him if I could talk with him a minute about it. And he invited me to come over, and we had lunch at the Mecca restaurant in downtown Raleigh. And that began a friendship that continues even today. We exchanged emails just last week. The point of the Honor Court, obviously, is not to train aspiring lawyers. But for me, the focus on issues of fair process, justice, mercy, and an opportunity to be heard, the presumption of innocence and the like lit a fire that led me to what has ended up being my professional calling. I was so fortunate, too, that the Moorhead program provided me a summer interning with a police department in suburban Washington, D.C., and a summer interning for a state trial judge. I feel very lucky that among the many other lessons Carolina provided for me was a sense of my future professional calling into the law and now into the judiciary. So now I'm serving in my 12th year as a United States Magistrate Judge, which is a job that I treasure. Prior to that, I went to law school at Virginia, clerked for a judge. I've served as a lawyer in private law practice and as a prosecutor in both state and federal court. And as I look back on my time at Carolina, I'm so grateful. And I think about three things, really. I feel fortunate to have attended this wonderful university that provided such a rich growth experience to me over 4 years' time. I feel inspired, by the professors who taught me here and the many gifted and talented and passionate students I met here who expanded and redefined what might be possible for me. And I feel deeply grateful for the experiences UNC provided to me that helped me to find a professional calling I treasure every day. So I thank you for listening, but I treasure Carolina as I know you do. And I also want to say that I'm really grateful to be a part of this group. So, Carolina, priceless gem. Beat State.